Hey, lawn care leaders. Just wanted to fill you in on a little software program that we use here through our company, Green Again Lawn. It's a software program that caters to businesses in the service industry. You can customize quotes, invoices, and email templates, collect online payments, and easily access reports such as past due invoices and transaction history. No job is too big or too small for a jobber. Hop on over to our Instagram page and find out how we use and implement Jobber into our small business.
This is a perfect situation where you just fake it till you make it. That's exactly what it is. That's a Brent Down classic right here.
Oh, fake it till you make it. So you literally just took over as CFO of that company?
Yeah. And might I say there are many, many issues, but it's good. It's a good opportunity for me.
Man.
If it was like a really well established company, I never would have been able to jump right into this position.
But yeah.
Since there's so much chaos and it's Connersville, it kind of presented itself to me.
Yeah. That's cool,
no,
man.
It's exciting. I'm learning a ton about basically just operating a business and cash flow and managing paying bills and just a ton of different things, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were early, like, your previous job was more auditing, so do you like more of the business side of this?
Oh, so much more. Yeah, it's so much more fun. Like, now I get to take, like,
Yeah.
And help a business grow, you know.
Yeah.
It's a much more like strategic mindset every day, which I like.
Man, that's cool.
So yeah, it has been awesome. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been awesome.
What's like the biggest change or biggest thing you learned your first few days?
Just how tough managing cash flow is. Like how tight it can get at these manufacturing companies.
Yeah.
Like when you can't collect on your receivables, like when you get behind or forecasting is big too, like what you're going to be paying for the coming weeks. That's huge.
Yep.
And when you're auditing, you're just like, oh, they have cash in the account, they're fine. But no, it's like that thing dips low a lot of times. It like makes me a lot more nervous than I thought.
It's like a teeter totter, man. You've got.
Yeah. Like I'll go home at night and be thinking about it. I'm like, man, I hope we collect this payment before our debt, so that loan payments do.
Oh yeah. That's so hilarious. Yeah, you're literally. It's like you just hopped into a small business role all of a sudden.
Yes, and I told my dad this. I was like, not to be mean, but like the guys who run this company it's not well run, we'll say, and they're going to me with like a billion questions and projects. And I basically feel like I'm the CEO with no experience.
Yeah.
I tried to help them with a lot of different things, but the experience on my end is phenomenal because I have no equity in the business, no risk, but I'm just trying to help them. But yeah, it's another thing. I always think of you because you have to deal with all this crap too. But it's like, you know that you can work on 10 different things and improve the company, but you just don't have the resources to do it. So you have to pick and choose what you want to do every day.
Yeah.
It's like if I focused 100% for a month on plan A and then plan B and then plan C, like I could do everything. But there's so much you gotta do.
Oh yeah.
You have to pick and choose and let a few things go to the wayside.
Yeah, we literally have to talk about that weekly of like. Important versus urgent, non-important and urgent, and just that diagram of, hey, what's on fire, and then what's important but not urgent that needs to be done for, you know, months to come.
Yes, that's super cool. So you get with your guys weekly and talk about these things and prioritize.
Yeah, we try our best. It's something that I struggle with daily because I have, you know, 100 daily tasks that are all important. And then and then two of them that don't seem important, but if I don't do them within the coming weeks, it's going to kill us in 6 months, you know?
Yes, I totally get it. And then you, in the back of your mind, you probably have like two or three big ticket items you want to get working on for like a growth strategy or something that's like long term.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you allocate time to that when you got all these immediate problems?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I can't imagine what you go through because you're like the 100% owner, so everything is times 10, but I feel you. It's like, how do you allocate your time? I like that. Like, what's the big fire right now? What's urgent? What needs to be done?
Yep.
It's a lot of prioritizing.
Look up, just Google, like, important versus urgent diagram on Google.
Uh-huh.
And I literally write that down on a board and just try to label stuff for the week. It's been pretty helpful. I don't always get to it, but it's been nice. So,
oh, cool. How's the board you have and stuff? That's cool.
Yeah, I've just got a little whiteboard.
Dude, your biz is popping. You got Christmas parties, steak dinners.
Oh, wait. Well, exactly, bro. Just like you said, fake it till you make it.
Gosh. You gotta. Well, you're wearing that smile like you made it.
So I've gotta keep the few people that I've convinced to work with me happy. So.
Well, I am very impressed because I feel like those dudes are treated pretty darn well.
They don't
know how good they have it.
They're spoiled, but they also work hard, so that's good. So.
Yeah.
How
Everything. Have a
so
good
man, we've struggled connecting. I was gonna see. Do you mind just like literally a few minutes recording of like. Your thoughts around bookkeeping?
Yes, let's do it. Now especially I've had a couple weeks of CFO and under my belt, it'll be good.
That's awesome.
Bring some perspective to the table.
That's awesome. So, well, tell me, I guess, first of all, like, tell me what your first job was and what you're doing now to kind of, like, give the audience a little background on you.
Yeah. So, coming out of college, I started at a large CPA firm as an auditor. So, basically, I would go out at year end for companies, which could be any time during the year, but they have a fiscal year end, and then we would audit their financial statements. So we take the income statement, balance sheet, cash flows, and we basically test all those different line items on there to make sure that those numbers are right and supported, and that the company's CFO or controller are booking the proper entries every month.
Okay. And so what, I mean, now you've kind of transitioned out of that into the CFO role. How's that been? Has it been different, difficult?
So I went from much more of a compliance or technical bookkeeping and accounting mindset to a much more strategic operational mindset.
Okay.
So kind of taking the X and O's of bookkeeping, because bookkeeping, I mean, it is flexible and there are some gray areas, but a lot of it is black or white, where there's a certain type of entry you have to book to make sure your books are up in line. So I went from like taking that knowledge and making sure that's right to now making sure I'm booking the right entries so that I can have the right statements to make business decisions.
Yeah.
So now bookkeeping is kind of that backbone that gives you so that you're reporting the right numbers to make decisions on.
Yeah.
If you're booking junk entries and you have junk data coming in, you're going to be making terrible decisions because you have nothing to base it on.
And I think that's
both sides.
And I think that's one thing that small businesses don't realize is all the non-reported cash, all the junk, you know, payables or expenses, you could say, that throws off everything, because now on the back end, your projections for the end of 2018, your marketing projections for 2019, those are all thrown off.
Yes,
and
it's all
to save, you know, a couple $100 here and there.
Yes. Yeah, people tend to think small with bookkeeping. Yes, like it may be a small task that's annoying, but I think it can help you produce big results, because accurate data is everything.
Yeah.
If you're missing, like you said, all of these non-cash entries, whether it's prepaids or accruals or depreciation or just stuff like that that you're missing that hits your books, you're going to be making poor decisions because you're missing all that.
Yeah.
I definitely see the value, especially being on the technical side and the operational side, how they kind of bridge together.
Yeah, that's huge. And I know a lot of small businesses, they don't even have an actual system of tracking all of it. You know, they just still throw the receipts in a shoebox and stuff like that. We've used Jobber now, which is a service industry specific software program, and they sync with Xero, they sync with QuickBooks, all that. So that's been really, really helpful for us. What platform have you seen like other small businesses use?
Yeah, that is huge that you are working with the right people that have got you set up on these great systems and apps, because QuickBooks, Sage, all of these platforms all of a sudden are becoming so integrated with all these phenomenal apps that just streamline everything.
Yeah.
So the business I'm at now, I jumped into, is very old school. We file everything still.
Yeah.
So I am in the process of teaching our guys to scan stuff in, upload it to a folder, whether that's OneDrive, Google Drive, just something. I mean, they're free apps, you know.
Yeah.
And upload it to a folder, and then you can get rid of the paper trail, and I can use that to book our entries. Because right now, we don't have apps that integrate with Sage. I haven't set them up yet, but I definitely am wanting to start integrating things like Expensify, Shoebox, just all these different
And so,
receipts help you manage payables, all that fun stuff.
Sorry to cut you off, but how, like, how has that been? Because I'm sure there's millions of companies out there, especially in the lawn care industry, that have a certain way of doing things. How is it? How has it been getting people on board with newer technology?
Oh, it is very difficult because people are very stuck in their ways, and I understand that because it's worked all this time. You know, if you're doing something that works,
Billy's stuck in his ways. Billy doesn't want to change.
Yes. I work with about 5 to 10 management Billies right now, and I'm trying to convince Billy that hey, what you're doing is great, and yes, you've made money. But if I teach you how to do this, within a week, it's going to be 5 times easier.
Yeah.
This is the way I always spend it. Instead of spending your super valuable time, because you're getting paid really well, working on filing and non-value add, you could be out getting sales or making quotes or doing something so much more valuable that brings more business to the company.
Yeah.
And we all want to do things that bring more value to the company because that's what we're paid to do. Nobody wants to sit and file stuff away. So, there may be a little pain in between, but end goal, you're going to be doing work that you're more passionate about.
Yeah.
But I try to spin it that way.
Little growing pain, but I mean, especially with some of those, like with filing, your ROI is going to be instant. I mean, there's going to be a little pain, but it's going to be instant. How is that dynamic with you? How old are you now?
25,
bro. We're getting old. Dude, I'm
the big
3-0. I'm the big 3-0, man.
Can I say that on here? Yeah, big 3-0.
I'm hitting 30 now. We're still young, but like literally. So you're still considered a millennial, right?
I am definitely a millennial.
I didn't know if you were the other. Yeah, I didn't know if you were a younger generation. So, like, what? How's that dynamic with some of the older guys that you're working with?
Is
it awkward?
I'm sure, you've experienced it too, working with, you know, customers or whatever it is. It's difficult because we have a certain way of doing things and we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
The way we've grown up with technology, we expect things to be smooth and seamless, and we expect to have good customer interface, interaction with whatever we do. And you jump into some of these roles, like where I'm at now, and all of a sudden you don't even have anybody to help you with IT questions.
Yeah.
It can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of patience and a lot of convincing, but I feel like once you show these people all of the great things that technology can do for you and that it's not that complicated, they end up jumping on board.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
I'm right in the middle of that.
Yeah. So we can get a report back from you on that. Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you've got those one-finger texters out there that I call it. Like, they've got phone in one hand and then they're texting with just one finger, and you know, a transition to anything new is going to be rough for them.
Yeah, you know, they're hunting texting anymore, and it's going to be set up mad for everyone.
Oh, so, my gosh.
And what I've tried to show people is, and tell people is, right now, like, accounting is going through an incredible shift from that kind of mom-and-pop, old-school CPA firm to everything being integrated with technology on the cloud, apps, and it's like a phenomenal, fun time to be kind of in that world. Because there's so much change happening for the better. You know?
We have more knowledge at our fingertips, and it's also instant. And it's spitting out information on our business faster than ever before, with more reports than ever before. And I think that people, honestly, sometimes I think it's not even the fear of change, it's just like the fear of the unknown. Like, they don't even know how to begin that process, and so it's kind of daunting. It's like out in the distance. They don't even know how to tackle it. That's why I wanted people to talk and hear from other bookkeepers, because it is scary, but when you partner with somebody that actually has been in it and does it and knows that side of things and is personable, like, I don't know if you heard, like, I'm using John with JF Consulting, and then I wanted to talk to you as well because you guys you're personable. You have the relational side, but you also have that numbers aspect to you.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. All of a sudden, it's been awesome for us accountants to shift from less of the X's and O's and compliance of data entry to now, like you said, we can be like high-level thinkers and partner with business owners to analyze the data.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, our value is much more in analyzing and organizing data and not just entering data.
Yeah.
So that we can help you, you know, go strategically wherever you want to go. But it also means those accountants out there who are people person type guy or who love working with owners can add so much more value all of a sudden because you're working hand in hand with analyzing these numbers, not just entering them.
Yeah, that's huge. So what would you say, like, what's the one area where you see most small businesses dropping the ball with any, and it doesn't have to be only bookkeeping or only taxes, just anything, finances?
Yeah, I think that small business owners don't realize how valuable outsourcing can be.
Yeah.
And how relatively inexpensive it can be when you really factor in the opportunity costs you're missing of not outsourcing.
Yeah.
So, I just like the company I'm looking at now, there are so many things that I can't believe they've done, or even, I guess you would say, try to do in-house these last few years, because I can see they're doing it wrong, something on cash flow projections or whatever, because they're not looking the right entries.
Yeah.
I can see they're doing it wrong, and who knows how much money that's been costing them.
Yeah.
But when I ask them, you know, why haven't you tried to outsource this or hire someone or whatever, and they're like, you just see the external cost, you know. Oh, well, that's $500 a month, we can't do that. No, you're probably costing yourself $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
I think people get so stuck on external costs of outsourcing or hiring somebody who's really knowledgeable that they don't realize the opportunity cost of not having people who are good at helping you.
Yeah.
So I definitely see value in that for small business owners, because then it allows guys like you to not be focused on all the ins and outs of taxes or bookkeeping or whatever, and now, just like you've been doing, you can focus on customer acquisition, hiring people, stuff where you're really making your business money. You know,
exactly.
Not just sit by the computer crunching numbers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. I couldn't agree more, because, yeah, I mean, for me, that's why I'm starting to put together all these little pieces, you know, the bookkeeping, the administrative side, the actual production side, because I have one or two things that I need to focus on every day to push the company forward, and anything else in my way needs to be delegated. A lot of it,
yes,
I still try to do, just because I'm a control freak, and I sometimes am a perfectionist on certain things, but that's what I'm at least pushing towards.
Yes.
So yeah. Let me ask you this. So obviously we know, like, small businesses, anywhere from 5 to 50 team members need this, but what about somebody that's maybe a little bigger or has multiple locations? What would it look like? What are some of the ways they could bring a CFO on, or a unique way where they could give equity to a financial guy coming in to help them with that?
Yeah, and that's kind of the situation. I jumped in a company who's been kind of doing outsourcing / in-house, but they finally hit that point where they're so big that it's hard to outsource things.
Yeah.
Because on the outside, you can only see so much of day-to-day complex transactions. So really for them, it was just biting the bullet, being willing to let somebody come in, taking the time and a couple weeks to train them on how their business operates. And then this has been huge for me, but whoever you hire in, obviously hire slow, make sure you're hiring the right person. But once you get that with somebody you trust, you have to give them freedom and flexibility to implement changes. If your business is struggling a little bit because of that piece you're missing, and you bring somebody in, you need to let them do what they're good at.
My situation,
they've been really good at that. But I think that people don't always realize bringing in a fresh perspective how great that can be, especially somebody who is a little more familiar with technology coming into an older company or something like that. A fresh perspective always helps things.
That's
bounce
awesome.
Ideas off each other, that kind of thing.
That's awesome. And that also goes back to just being stuck in your old ways. It's easy to do something repetitively and fall in a rut with anything, not just your finances. So.
Yeah, I think that, I know that you're making a great point. I've worked with a lot of different businesses over the past few years with auditing, and I feel like the CEOs, CFOs, controllers, whatever, business owners who've done really well are always people who are willing to take other people's perspectives and just bounce ideas off each other, whether that's their employees, that's other management, whether it's people from competitors from the industry. I feel like your successful business owners are willing to at least talk and admit, hey, I may need to do this better.
Yeah.
Pitch me what you think and I'll critique it.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
That's something super valuable.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Little golden nuggets you're dropping on us here.
Oh, no, I'm all talk here.
That's,
I'm not the one running the business like you.
That's cool, bro. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. Glad you've stepped into that new role, and I'm hoping it does good things for you. So how about with the wifey? What's that like, being married to a CFO? I can just picture you. Are you just cracking the whip on the personal budget, like, daily?
Oh, man. She's not liking it. All of a sudden, the salary went up, but I was so afraid of lifestyle creep, I tightened everything up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a really good point. Talk about that, because, okay, so the past 2 years and then this next third year in 2019, I'm not raising my income at all. Uh-huh. Yet the business has doubled in top line revenue.
Wow.
all four years. So that's uh-huh. I'm not to brag, I'm just wanting you to speak to not raising your lifestyle, because
that's my goodness, you tapped into it there. I am a, I don't even know what you call it, a personal finance guru, but I see so often people get caught in that middle class trap where you start making good money and all of a sudden you think you need a bigger house, a better car, you know, your mortgage goes up, your car goes up, and you just never get far ahead. So kudos to you for, it takes a lot of self-discipline. It's not easy. When you see your bank account going up faster than it usually does, and you see you have a steady position, it's easy to spend that money, but you don't realize you're robbing from your future. Like all of the possibilities you could have by increasing your income and keeping your expenses even just flat, you know, or just a reasonable increase every year. You're just going to save so much so that you can invest in better opportunities in the future. You know, you never know what's going to open up. It's nice to have that extra cash.
100%.
Taking you to financial freedom or whatever you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I always stress, like, margin with our guys and in my personal life, because I always picture margin is like the space for opportunity that you can't really see yet. And if you keep robbing, like you said, if you keep robbing your business of those funds, you can't create margin, and thus you can't take advantage of those opportunities that you can't yet see. So I think that's pretty cool. And practically, like, that's why we do the profit first system, because practically speaking, like, my owner's pay account, I just try to, like, hide that from me. So obviously I make sure that there's, like, funds in there for each paycheck that's going to be cut to me. But other than that, anything over what that threshold is that I'm going to be paying myself monthly, that just stays in there. So
yes, and that is awesome. There's a great learning lesson point there. It really comes down to, like I said, we are all very selfish type by nature individuals, and it's hard for us to save. So come up with a process or a system, whatever that is, so that it forces you to save. That's not seeing exactly, or just setting something aside, direct deposits, so you don't have to see it every month or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes for you just to build that habit of saving. If you do that for 6 months, and then it becomes easy, it becomes normal.
Yep.
You know? So great job to you for doing that from the beginning of your business.
Yep.
Because it's already paid dividends for you.
Yep.
You have this money set aside, it allows you to take risks for opportunities and just things you don't even know that are coming, which is really cool.
That's cool, man. That's cool. All right, well, let's close with, like, what's one tax strategy for small lawn care businesses?
Oh, yes. Small lawn care businesses.
Like, literally, like, one guy and a mower.
I would say, to the best of your abilities, just Google the new Tax and Cut Jobs Act that, you know, has been implemented in 2018, and just look at some very brief high-level points on it, because a lot of things are changing, and it's hard to pick out one thing. But if you just have a base knowledge of maybe five different things, you know, that the standard deduction is increasing, that exemptions are changing, that business interest is changing, if you can just pick out one or two of those, you'll probably find something that will affect your business.
That's awesome.
And then go talk to a tax expert if you feel like you really could be helpful.
Zach, you're the man. You're the man.
It's a complex world out there.
All right, let me do this for you. So we'll close out here. So Zach Miller, where, like, if somebody wants to ask you questions or reach out to you, where can they find you on social?
All right, awesome. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. Obviously, you just type in Zach Miller. I work for Keyear Corporation. You could hit me up on ZMill93. Shoot me a Twitter message if you want. I'm also on Facebook.
Sweet.
Email ZDMiller93@gmail.com if you want to hit me there. But I'm a passionate guy. I love small business, and I'm always willing to chat.
Cool, man. You're awesome. I appreciate the tips. That's some good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brett, for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm proud of you and what you have done in the lawn care industry.
Proud of you guys. We need to get our families together so we can watch these babies. Hey, when are you and Aaron gonna be dropping some little kiddos on us?
Oh man, Brett, it's right on the horizon. It's about to happen to me. I've crunched the numbers enough. I've done it all. It's time. We've settled down in Connersville, so I'm here now.
Good man.
Town, and,
good man.
It's definitely coming soon.
That's awesome. Did you get out in the deer stand at all?
Oh, way too much. Yeah, way too much. In between my last job, I took off 6 weeks before I started this one, and I hunted the heck out of it.
Boy, you're like, I'm gonna step into CFO role. I've freaking got to get in the stand.
I had to sit there and think about business strategies, but I have 5 weeks paid vacation saved up.
That's
so
awesome.
Saved up, had fun, did a lot of hunting, but
that's
we
awesome.
Do need to get together, because you and Rookie are just parenting the heck out of life, so I need to see how that's going for you guys.
Yeah, that's another episode. It's going good. It's just like business. It's got its ups and downs.
Extreme ups and downs.
Yeah.
Sure, much
more than you in business. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, we love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, love you too, BD. Keep cranking it out. Keep working hard, and hopefully connect with you again soon.
We'll see you guys.
All right, see ya. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that interview. Sorry the audio was a little poor. I was literally just on the phone with Zach, and he's a busy guy, so decided to go ahead and do a quick business finance talk with him and get his thoughts. We do have, in the next few months, I'm going to be seeing him in person, so we're going to go ahead and schedule a time where we can delve into some actual specific topics. So like how to read a profit and loss statement, how to maximize margin in your company. If you guys have stuff that you would like us to address or a specific topic in regards to business finance, budgeting, anything around that space, we can definitely squeeze that in during that interview. So hope you enjoyed that. Got a little special guest with me here.
What's up?
My boy Thiago Guilherme.
Yes, I hope everyone is having a great day or night. Whatever time you listen to this, it's a pleasure to be here with Britt.
Yeah.
With this podcast. And I want to give a shout out to Brandon Terrazas in Liberal, Kansas. What's up, Brandon?
How you doing, Brandon? Brandon's a good listener. And then I think he's actually getting ready to sign on with Evergrow Marketing, the digital agency that we signed on with as well. So, Brandon at Terrazas Lawn Care, hope all is well. Hope business is doing good. Thank you for listening. I want to give one other shout out to a guy who is pretty active in promoting us, and we've been chatting a lot on social media, Justin Chesser, On My Own Time Lawn Care out of Troy, Missouri. So he's been helping us out a lot, really good guy, and he works hard, hustles, and like what I see from him on his social media outlets and platforms. So wanted to give him a shout out. Really appreciate you listening, and hope things are going well for you guys as well. If you guys haven't followed us, you can follow us in two places. One, at Green Again Lawn, or you can follow the actual podcast at Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. And then you can find me personally and chat with me on Twitter at bdowd32. Thiago, where can they find you? Let me tell you a little about Thiago. He's been with us a very brief time. And we're going to have him on an episode coming up just to kind of tell his story. He's got a pretty amazing story, and about him stepping out in faith for him and his family. So we'll have him on soon. He's from Brazil. But Thiago, tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from real quick. Give him a little taste test before we do the episode coming up.
Come on, man. It has to be a little surprise. You can't give everything to people like that. Well, I'm from Brazil, actually from Bauru, São Paulo. Probably everybody heard about São Paulo. But that's all I want to say for now. I'll let everything for the episode. Yep. That'll be a little secret.
Thiago, let me tell you this. Like, everything that you see of Green Again Lawn, Tiago now has his hands in. He's probably the hardest working, most loyal guy that I've met and come across. And he's, you tell him to run his head through a wall, he's going to ask which brick and how hard. He's just that kind of guy. So have really appreciated and enjoyed getting to know him recently, and consider him family now. So hopefully you guys will listen in on that episode. But again, wanted to shout out to Justin and Brandon. Hope y'all are doing good. If you haven't subscribed or left a review, that's going to help us, because literally my grandma and five other lawn care guys know about this. More than that now. We're getting a little following, but
grandma's telling her friends.
Yeah, grandma's telling her bingo buddies. But seriously, we really enjoy chatting with you guys and adding value, hopefully, to your business. So follow us, subscribe, screenshot this episode right now, share it with somebody that you feel like would enjoy it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.